Okay, we're about to begin a brand new sugya. I mean, not exactly brand new sugya, but, yes, relatively speaking. So comes the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph and introduces to us something that we've been talking about many, many times, a sukkah yeshana. You have an old sukkah. So what's the din? B'shamay paisim b'silam achshirin. So B'shamay said it's not acceptable, B'silam said it's all right. Why did B'shamay say it's no good? The Gemara explains that B'shamay insists that a sukkah has to be made l'shma. Could derive from sukkim, chagasukkah stasa l'cho, whatever the drash is, that l'ashem, whatever the mocher is, that a sukkah has to be made l'shma in the love of derais, and therefore, if the sukkah was made a long time ago, presumably it wasn't made l'shma, and therefore it's possible in a term. B'silam said we never heard of such a thing. B'silam achshirin. Beizah sikkah yeshana, koshi yasa, kerem l'chag shleshim yoyim. Only considered to be a sukkah yeshana was made more than 3 days before Yom Tov. So the shem chag, if you made it shem, even if you made it a long time ago, that would still be okay. So what's the cutoff point? What's the demarcation of 30 days? So 30 days is that even if you didn't specifically made it l'shem mitzvah, it's understood that you made it l'shem mitzvah. That's what Rashi explains, that it's built into the system that the bo sukkah l'shma, the shem posted the bo sukkah l'shma. So Rashi just told us a whole strip of Torah within Beis Shammai's view that avadi you need a sukkah to be made l'shem mitzvah. That's ma'akam in Torah. But if it's made stama, so sometimes stama is okay and sometimes stama is not okay. If it's within 30 days, stama is okay because it's understood that you made it l'shem mitzvah. And if it's before 30 days, then stama would not be okay. And all these chalukim, this whole discussion is only b'das b'sham, according to b'sham, the whole thing is not necessary. There never was a din at all that you needed sukkah to be made l'shem. Ad kan divrei Mishnah, ad kan divrei Rashi. So we're going to spend a lot of time on understanding shitas b'shamai. So some of you may be wondering why we're spending so much time on b'shamai for 2 reasons. First of all, so Shitas Beis Shammai is also a chelik of Torah, and when you study the words in depth of Beis Shammai, you makayim the mitzvah derais of Talmud Torah, b'lishim safek. And number two, Rashi writes in Maseches Ksubas on Daf Zayin that Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim also means not only is the Shita important, but there are actually aspects of the Shita that can affect us l'mais as well. When we say that a certain shita shalaik Allah, we don't follow Beis Shammai, but there are aspects of Beis Shammai shita that do become important even for us, and that's also included in Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It was other pshat in Eilu Ve'Eilu, but that's Rashi's interpretation of Eilu Ve'Eilu. So we have two very, very good reasons to justify us spending a lot of time Beis Shammai. Number one, we want to understand every chelik of Torah, and number two, it's important for us to understand Beis Shammai because there are going to be things that emanate from Beis Shammai that are very much going to impact even us in the world of Beis Hillel. And sometimes people mistakenly quote this idea that we're going to learn B'Shamay, we're going to spend time studying B'Shamay because we're open to all views. We are very, very, you know, a very open, tolerant religion, and we want to hear what everybody has to say, and even the opinions that were not accepted. Everyone has a say in the matter, as long as you know how to. Go online, you can do whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, you can breathe whatever you want, think whatever you want. So obviously that's Devarim B'Talim, one does. We don't have to bother wasting time from Shia to negate that position. That's clearly not correct. The Talmidei Beis Shammai were the Gedolei Olam. They were Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon, the Heilige, Heilige Tanoim, were no less Talmidei Chachamim than the Talmidei Beis Shammai were. It's possible that even greater Talmid Chachamim, the Gemara in Yevamah says that Talmid Beis Shammai was sharper, they were more charif than Talmid Beis Hillel, and the only reason why they were outvoted is because the robe was against them. So the Talmid Beis Shammai were G'day Le'yatayra V'ayira V'edis Hashem, they were Malei V'godesh T'chachmei HaMesoira, but we don't necessarily pass them like everything they say. You had a lot of G'day every Shayim throughout the years, that they won't necessarily pass them like them all the time, so that doesn't detract from their ability to form related opinion. But somebody who formulates an opinion who's not from the Gedolei Torah, so that's Devarim B'Talim. So that's not Torah, that's not Yira, that's just some waste of time. So you have to take the Shammai with the utmost seriousness because they were the Heilige Heilige Chachmei HaMeseri, no less Chachmei HaMeseri than the Talmidei Beis Hillel. Even though there were some very, very strong issues that they disagreed upon, Sukkah Yeshana was not the most like controversial thing in the world. Sugars and Yevamos were much more ramifications. There's Sugars of Bamzeiros, and Shahs that impact on people's lives. Sugars Yeshana, a big deal, holds up and misses. But there are Sugars that really made all the difference in the world, and the Shabbos all fought it out, and they still respected each other, they still married into each other, and they still got along together. That's beautiful, that's wonderful, because they were Tamidei Beis Shammai. They were great, they were all great, great Tamidei Beis Shammai. Okay, anyway, just as that, I had to get that off my chest, and now we're ready to start learning. So, I want to understand one thing in the sugya right now. What the Commissioner just told us, Rashi just filled in for us, is that notwithstanding that there's a din deraisa of Lishma, derived from Psukim according to Bishamai, we can invoke a principle called Stama Lishma, if it's true. It's not always true, but even when it's true, within 30 days, there is a principle of Stama Lishma. And Stama Lishma can be used to fulfill that otherwise requirement mid deraisa that would otherwise necessitate building a Sukkah Lishma. That's called the Sukkah Lishma, in love of deraisa, merely invoking the principle of Stama Lishma. So, this is not the first time, I mean, maybe the first time that we formally talking about this, but not the first time in Shas that this idea exists, that Stama Lishma can count as a Lishma. I mean, I guess the first time you learn from Brachas to the end, but if you started backwards and you learn Maseches Vachim first, so you didn't get very far in Maseches Vachim, you had all the way as far as that Beis, and he came to the realization that there is such a concept of a stama lishma in other areas that also require lishma. Let's say, for example, there's a din that a korban has to be brought lishma. And we have a little bit to talk about what that means exactly, but a korban is supposed to be brought lishma. So the Gemara says in the Beis of Maseches Vachim that when you shech the korban, you do the avodas hakorbanos, there is no need to formally say or think or do anything lishma. A stam korban is what? Is lishma imei. What made the stam korban lishma imei? Because last week I was makdish to be a korban oila, so every korban oila is supposed to be brought as a korban oila. What else are you going to do with the korban oila? So once a makdish for a specific korban, it enters into the category of stam lishma. And even though there is a din of lishma min haTorah, the first 10 blatim zvachim derived from sukkim, you have to shech lishma and you have to be mkabel the dam and because every part of the avodah has to be lishma. But stam lishma is acceptable in hilchos korbanos because stam korban lishma imei. The Gemara even raises a question in the Beis and Maseches Vachim that maybe we can invoke the principle of Stama Lishma to be Machshir a Get. We know that there's also a Din Derais of a Chos of Law Lishma. The Get has to be written Lishma. So the Gemara wants to know, what would the Din be if a person writes a Get and he didn't write it necessarily for this person. He didn't write it for somebody else. If he writes, let's say there are two women. They both happen to be named Rachel. Two wives, they're both Rachel. So if I write for a Rachel, a little Rachel, and then I decide to use it for a big Rachel, so that's for sure no good. That's Shlomo Lishma Mamish. But what if I wasn't thinking anything? I just stopped wrote a get, guys. Stopped writing a get like that. He's not thinking who's he going to write it for. And it turns out that he wants to use it for this person. So the Gemara says, oh, let's invoke the principle of Stama Lishma. That should be okay. So the Gemara says, no, that's no good. And why is that no good? What's the difference between Zvachim and Gittin? So that was the shayla that was posed in the Beis and Maseches Zvachim. So Gemara tells a story of the Beis and Zvachim that one of the Amoraim hadn't been in Shia. He missed Shia that day. And when he came the next day, so he wanted to find out what he missed the day before. There was no why you told her, there was no recording. What did I miss? So they told what you missed what? That this very, very deep discussion about Maishna Gittin Mizvachim. Why is it that by Zvachim we say Stama Lishma, and by Gittin we don't say Stama Lishma? Why is that conceptual difference? And you know what the Gemara answers? Why are they different? Because they're different. Because they are. Because the Stam Korban is Lishma I made. A Stam Isha is not the Gerushin Kaima. A regular woman, Rachel, is walking around in the street. So we say she's Omedes Lizgarish. You're crazy. The happily married woman, the heck it takes to Omedes Lizgarish. So a regular woman is not Omedes Lizgarish. So therefore, Stam is Lav Lishma I made. So we already see from that Gemara in Zvachar Dabeis that we invoke the principle of Stam Lishma by the deraisadika requirement of lishma for a korban, and if the facts would have been right, we would have invoked it for the deraisadika requirement of lishma b'gittin. The only reason why it falls short in gittin because the metzias is not right, because the facts don't match up. But lulei the facts would have matched up, we would have been fine invoking stama lishma, even though the requirement of lishma is a din deraisa clearly by gittin. So we already have three different areas of halacha: two where we practically apply, and one where theoretically would have applied. Practically is sukkah. I mean, if you believe in Bishama Shita, then it's practical and sukkah, Beis Hillel is meaningless. Practically in Zvachim, L'chol Adayas, and theoretically in Gittin, except the fact that the facts are wrong. So this idea of Stam L'shma is a din deraisa, permeating all areas of Allah, Kotshim, Gittin, and sukkah, say the Moye, say the Noshim, say the Kodesh, say the Hevshas, permeated with the principle of Stam L'shma. And we need a little bit of work to try to figure out what this means exactly. What is this based on exactly? What's this whole idea of Stam Lishma? What is the nature of this requirement of Stam Lishma? So the Chara, before we can begin to understand what the idea of Stam Lishma is all about, because after all, we have an equation on the board that Stam Lishma equals Lishma, if I tell you that B equals A, it's hard to analyze that unless you know what A was. If you don't know what the original model was, the original model was a real lishma. So once we understand the parameters of the real din lishma, then we have a fighting chance to understand what the chiddush of stam lishma is all about. So what do we have to know about lishma? So we know there are many, many areas of halacha where lishma appears. For gittin, and according to Bishan for sukkah, and for karbonis, making sefer Torah tefillah mezuzahs, we talk about tzitzis, we've seen a half dozen cases at least, which require lishma. So comes the rush in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Hilchos Sefer Torah is printed in the back of Maseches Benachos. Comes the rush in Hilchos Sefer Torah. And quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch, and Baruch Bala Sefer HaTruma, who has the following shayla. Third of the Mamakonis. Rabbeinu Baruch Zal Nistapik, Im Tzorch Lahitzi B'Svasav, Shum Abdo L'Shem Sefer Torah L'Shem Tefillin, Osage B'Machshava. Rabbeinu Baruch wasn't sure. When a person is ma'abed oiris for a sefer Torah, we're not even talking about writing the letters, we're talking about ma'abed oiris. Way, 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 way before you write the letters, you have to prepare the skin. So how do you prepare animal skin to be klaf? So most people never did that thing. Well, you just shecht an animal, just take it off the animal and write on it. It doesn't work that way. You have to first do what's called ibra or. You have to work, you have to tan it. There's a whole malachas of those who learned with us Masechet Shabbos. Ma'abed, one of the lamites malachas. You have to work the skin. So there's a process called ibra oiris. So Ibra Oiras, we assume, has to be done Lishma. It has to be done Lishem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Just as the Ksivas HaOisias has to be done Lishma, the Ibra Oiras has to be done as well Lishma. So Rabbeinu Baruch raised the Shaila, what would the din be when you ma'abid the Or, either for the purpose of Sefer Torah or for Tefillin? What does that mean? Does that mean Isagi B'machshava? Does that mean that you have to think Lishma? Or Tzarech L'Hoisi B'Tzvasa Lishma? What do the words mean? The halacha is you have to do it lishma. What does that mean, Rabbi? That means I just sit like this? Or like this? L'shaim k'dish tevita. What do I do? Do I think or do I scream? What's the din? What's the halacha? So Rabbeinu Baruch doesn't know. Not sure what the din is. It's interesting that Rabbeinu Baruch is very, very careful in his lashon. Read Rabbeinu Baruch really, really carefully. Rabbeinu Baruch nistav himself lights be such a ma'ad l'shem sefer shem tefillin osag machshav v'chein gabi k'siva sefer Torah tefillin mezuzas. And he had a similar shayla by Ksiva Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzas. What's funny about the way Rabbeinu Baruch presented the two shaylas? It's almost identical shayla. These are different applications of Lishma. Just read the words carefully. What happened to Ibud from Mezuzah? He starts off talking about Sefer Torah and Tefillin, and said, Mezuzah got lost in the shuffle. So I would have said, Mezuzah got lost in the shuffle. No, he doesn't have to tell you everything. Everyone knows. It's Sefer Torah, Tefillin, V'chulei. It means Mezuzah also. But then when he gets to the Ksiva, so he switches teams, and he makes a specific mention of Mezuzah. Why does he only mention Mezuzah by Ksiva and not by Ibud? Was that deliberate, or was that kind of just, you know, just he was writing quickly? What did Rabbeinu Baruch mean? It sounds very, very bizarre, very, very almost coincidental. And in one place he mentioned, another place that. Did Rabbeinu Baruch mean to say that you don't need Ibud Ha'or of a Mezuzah L'Shma? Is that what Rabbeinu Baruch meant? Could we be medayik in Rabbeinu Baruch such a thing? Maybe. Because if Rabbeinu Baruch was very medayik in L'Shonai, so then this would be another Rishon who buys into the world of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that same thing. The Rambam writes that Ibud Ha'or L'Shma is not necessary for Mezuzah. That's what Rabbeinu Baruch was driving at also. The only problem is, we have absolutely no idea why the Rambam said that. Why in the world should Ibra of Mizuz be any different? You have to write Mizuz Lishma. Whenever you have to write Lishma, you need Ibra Lishma. So how come Mizuz parts ways with Sefer Torah and Tefillin? It's Pilei Ploim. So there's a Tshuvah Shel Rambam that was asked this very question, the Chachmei Lunil. The Chachmei Lunil was a place in Provence, in southern France, so they used to correspond with the Rambam. The Raibud was one of the Chachmei Lunil. So the Chachmei Lunil sent a series of shailas to the Rambam. So one of the shailas that they asked the Rambam was, "My high, Yomadeinu Rabbeinu, why is it that you don't need Ibud of Or Mezuzah L'Shma?" And the Rambam sent back a tshuva. It's very, very hard to understand. It gives you some kind of a reason. We don't quite understand it. There's a famous sheet of the Rambam. It's such a famous sheet of the Rambam. It made such waves outside the world of the Rambam that even the Balei Tosfos knew about it. Rabbeinu Baruch was one of the Balei Tosfos. The Balei Tosfos themselves knew about it, even though the Balei Tosfos almost never ever referenced the Rambam. It's not even sure they even had access to the Rambam. The world was a much harder place to get around. It's because the Rambam's writing in Egypt, but Taisa living in France, it's only a couple of 100 miles away, but it was a big world of differences. It was, first of all, there was a Mediterranean in between them, and even more important than that, what was there? No one knows any European history? 1100s? There were two different worlds. The Baitaisas lived in the Christian Europe, and the Rambam lived in Muslim Egypt. They were fighting. They were each other. They were having crusades all the time. They were They're in two totally different worlds. So they didn't really interact all that much between each other. But there's one Taisas in Shas that quotes the Rambam in Maseches Menachos about the sugya of Ibur Or. One place Taisas they couldn't hold back. That Rambam somehow they knew about. Anyway, whatever it is. So getting back to this story. So I don't know whether Rabbeinu Baruch meant mamish or he was a little bit loved after his lash. I'm not sure. But that's not the point that we're interested in right now. We're interested in the thrust of Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch is a shayla. When you need lishma, so does lishma require a divor? Does lishma sufficient with machshava? So Rabbeinu Baruch continues and he says, don't think this is just relevant for kisvi HaKadosh things. We can't ksiva saget to be eating ksiva lishma. Isagi b'machshava? Is it enough? Anyone ever see the get being written? Does the sefer scream out Lishma, Lishma, Shem, Geirushin? Yeah, we do, but is it really necessary? Rabbeinu Baruch is not sure. He doesn't know. Anyone ever make matzahs? Do you have to scream out Lishma, Lishma, Lishai Matzah? No, this is the Shem Matzah. You have to scream it out? Not clear. So anytime the halacha requires a Lishma, what is the definition of Lishma? So Rabbeinu Baruch begins to try to bring rayas. He tries to bring precedents from other areas of halacha. So he says, Lefisha Matzinu Pigul, Tichsiv Bei Lo Yeirotzeh, Ubaya Dibur. Pigel. What is Pigel? What's Pigel? Person does an Avedis HaKorban. Avedis HaKorban means Shechita, Kabbalah Saddam, Halacha Saddam, Azrika Saddam. You do it with the following intent. What intent do you have? What is Machshavas Pigel? Chutz L'Zmano. Means I have in mind, I'm shechting this Korban, I'm an ass, either to eat part of it after the appropriate Zman, would it be machtir part of it after the appropriate zman? Either one of those two machshava, so to speak, a mefagel the korban. And once the korban is a pigol, then it's an issa koris to eat it even right away, even before the time comes. If I bring a korban and I shecht it properly, do the avodis properly, and then I dreiz harum and I don't eat it till the after the zman, that's not called pigol. That's called no sir. That's also an issa koris. But pigol means that I did it a machshavas chutz l'zmana. So Rabbeinu Baruch says when it comes to machshavas pigol, we know the halacha is ubaya dibur, avadia ni dibur for pigol. Ayin zvachem davchav zayinam alf. You chulei the gemara for day till tomorrow. You won't see anything about requiring dibur, but that's what Rabbeinu Baruch referenced, that pigol requires dibur. And maybe what's he saying? Just as pigol requires dibur, so pigol is a almost like a bad machshava. It's something that the Torah doesn't want you to do. It's almost like the antithesis of doing things properly. And there, the standards of machshava, pigol, are really synonymous with dibur. So maybe, who dinami, machshavas that the Torah does want us to do, the machshavas of lishma, forgiven, tzitzis, imatz, etc., have to also meet those criteria of dibur. So that's the Rabbeinu Baruch's suggestion. It's an interesting equation. I don't know whether I would have said it, but Eilig Rabbeinu Baruch said that ken zayin, if since we know for a fact pigol requires dibur, so mistam machshavas lishma also requires dibur. But then Rabbeinu Baruch backtracks a little bit. He says, no, you know, maybe we're trying to figure out what the din is in terms of Lishma. So we brought one raya from Pigel. Pigel's on the in the category of requiring Dibur. But wait a second. There are other areas of Halacha that Machshava is good enough. For example, what's another area of Halacha? Utrumani tell us below Dibrach Machshava. When it comes to being Mafish Truma, so not only do you not have to do an actual Hafrasha, you don't even have to do Dibur. Truma is nitelus from machshava alone. V'nechshav v'chem truma asham. It's a gzeres ha-kosuv that the Torah does take into consideration thought processes. You don't need actual to verbalize. So maybe just as truma is nitelus from machshava mamish, so hu adinami lishma could be created with machshava also. You see, Rabbeinu Baruch is searching. He's taking a tour to kol ha-Torah kula, looking for areas of halacha where dibur is necessary, and then counter arguments that there is areas of halacha where machshava is sufficient, and he's still not sure where to place machshavas lishma. Is machshava follow the model of pigol or follow the model of truma? He's not done yet. Uvishlichas yad, ksiva kol dvar pesha. V'acheshev v'shloach yad b'kodem chayev. V'shlichus yad, v'shlichus yad mean, if I'm a shomer, I'm watching your car, so you ask me to watch your car, not to use the car, watch the car for a week, and I go ahead and I take the car around for a spin around the block. So I'm a shloach yad b'kodem. Even though nothing happened, the car didn't smash at the time, so I drove the car around, put it back in the driveway, and then an hour later the car gets struck by lightning. What's the din? I'm chayev to pay. Shloach yad b'kodem, like a gazan, I'm chayev and everything, even an einsid. So how much constitutes shlichus yad? So there's machlekes atanoim between Bishan and Bisil at the end of the third pack of Bamitzia, whether what if a person didn't mamish do an after? What if he just planned to do shlichus yad? Does the parasha of shlichus yad kick in or not? So we happen to pass like Bisilil that you're not chayev unless you did a ma'isa shlichus yad. So anything Rabbeinu Baruch is going to say now is not relevant for us l'ma'isa. But Bishami disagrees. Bishami has a drasha called Dvar Pesha. L'rabo's even not a literal shlichus yad. Even if it's just a Dvar Pesha, just a little bit, that's just a words, intention, that's good enough. And what's considered to be sufficient to meet the criteria of Bishama Shita of Vakol Dvar Pesha? So, even just thinking is enough to make you Chayev. So, again, this is all Bisham. Bishil says this doesn't even exist, this model doesn't even exist. We're discussing models where we can either choose Dibur or Machshava. So the third model where the Torah could have chosen either Dibur or Machshava according to Bishamai is Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad fits very nicely into this category. So Rabbeinu Baruch is looking at the list and saying, you know, two out of the three point in the direction Machshava's Kemaisa and Machshava's Kedibur, and one is insisting on Dibur Mamish. He doesn't know what to do. So Rabbeinu Baruch throws his hands up. He says, if you want to know what the right thing to do is, even though you get the impression that he's Neitel HaHokel, that more areas of Halacha seem to suffice with Machshava, but he's not willing to be Machshir yet based on that, not willing to be Machshir Tzitzis based on that, Tfilin, Matz, etc. So Toiv L'Hoitzi B'Sfasel. L'Chadchila, for sure, it's a Chashash, Chashash Derais, Chashav Derais, he should be Meitzi B'Sfasel. That is the presentation of Rabbeinu Baruch, L'Chadchila B'Yad Soif. Rabbi say, the Ari Shainim, who take issue with each one of the pivotal rayas of Rabbeinu Baruch. There are Rishonim who say that Shlichus Yad of Beishamai requires what? When the Beishamai say, L'chayev afilu akol dvar pesha, what does Dvar mean? Dvar doesn't mean Machshava. Dvar means what? It means Dibur. So there are some Rishonim who say, Shlichus Yad is not even on the list. There are Rishonim who say that Pigol does not require Dibur. You can create a Machshavas Pigol with Machshav alone. You know who says that? The Rambam says that. You know who else says that? The Sefer Chinuch says that. That Pigol doesn't really require Dibur altogether. Let's take Dibur off the list. So all we have is Machshav of Truma. I don't know whether Machshav of Truma is a good Mach or not. I don't know. What does being Mafresh Truma have to do with baking tzitzis and writing and get baking matzahs? What does my Indian Zaytzel say? You know, if you would ask me, out of the three cases that Rabbeinu Baruch was discussing, whether they could impact on Lishma of Mitzvahs, which one of the three is easiest to understand? Did you think that Hukas HaFashas Truma has the slightest bit of connection to our issue of whether baking matzahs? What is Shaleach Yad B'Pikod that have to do with baking matzahs? One's the Mominus that you're a Gaza, not a Gaza. One's making a Machshava to make something Lishma. What in the way you need to be this lesson? And quite frankly, what in the world does a freshest chum have to do anything? A freshest chum is a chalois, and it's of a head there, and the moment is, what my Indian say so there? Out of the three cases that Rabbeinu Baruch was using as models to model baking matzahs and making tzitzis and writing gittin and writing tefillin and mezuzahs on, between you and me, there's only one that I really understand. And what that? Pigol makes a lot of sense. You know why? Because what is Pigol ultimately? It's the antithesis Lishma. Lishma means that I'm bringing a korban oila, I'm going to treat it like a korban oila, I'm going to eat it, I'm not going to eat it, I'm going to be mocked it like a korban oila. It's a shlomim. I'm bringing it as a shlomim, I'm going to eat it like a shlomim, I'm not going to do anything that's antithesis to shlom to it. Pigol is the ultimate undermining of the Lishma of a korban. It's the worst, most flagrant violation of the Lishma of a korban. You went ahead and you bring the korban out with the kavanah to eat it at the wrong time. In the chal, the zaynus of the karbanas, worse than that. And therefore, I almost understand where Rabbeinu Baruch is coming from in terms of Machshavas Pigol. If Machshavas Pigol is an antithesis of Lishma, so it's very logical to say that Hilchas Machshava, Bein Lechum, Bein Lekula, Bein Lesser, Bein Lahatir, Bein Lahash, Bein Lifso, should be analogous to one another, should be identical to one another. So if you're going to tell me, you're so convinced, Rabbi Baruch is right, that you can bring, that Pigul could be created only through Dibur, so that it makes a lot of sense to say that Lishma for Kabbalah also requires Dibur. If you're willing to go on record, like the Rambam would say for Chinuch, that Pigul can be accomplished with Machshava, then I'm willing to negotiate that Lishma of mitzvah should also be sufficient with Machshava. So between you and me, I don't argue with the Hilig of Levin Baruch, but I don't really understand the Shlichus Yad, and quite frankly, that doesn't really tell me all that much, because it's only Beshami anyway, so I don't even know what to do with that. And Truma, I don't know what Truma has to do with anything. The only thing that really, really we understand is the Pigul issue. So the real question, we're not learning a Lishma Sugya anymore. We're not learning baking matzah anymore. We're not learning making again anymore. We're not learning baking a Sugya anymore. But the Sugya that we're really learning is the Pigul Sugya. We just entered into the world of Brisk. The real answer to our question, bottom line, does the Sefer have to say Lishma or think Lishma? Does he have to say Lishma or think Lishma when you make matzah? Say Lishma, think Lishma when you write a mezuzah? At the end of the day, it really is a Zvachim Daveis question. What is Machshaves Pigul? What is Machshava Bekotshim? That's the only real question you have to ask yourself. So what's the answer to that question? So Ben Abarach said, you need Dibor? And Ram and the Sefer Chinuch say, no, you don't need Dibor. Machshava is good enough. Okay, so you're right. It's not like that. At least it's in the ballpark.
Maybe you'd say the opposite. For Pigul, you need to actually speak it in order to make it.
Okay, maybe. Okay, you mean you're undermining the Hor Ben Baruch. You are taking the Hor Ben Baruch and say, I don't like any of these Mishalim. Okay, I at least gave the Ben Baruch 33% of the Mishalim.
Well, once you're taking out the other ones.
No, but I understand. But the other two I'm taking out because they have nothing to do with, they're not Lishma issues. Truma is nothing to do with Lishma. Pigul is a Lishma type of related halacha.
So similar, Pigul is a machshav to an action. Just as Lishma is a machshav to an action.
Right. So there are similarities. Right? You're strengthening my argument. There is a similarity in the two. One is Lifso, one is Lahakshir, but there is that similarity between the two. Right. So basically, this all boils down now to a Kachim issue. Why do we care? We're learning Sukkah Daf Tes Aleph. So why does this interest us? What did the Gemara? What did the Mishnah say in the Tes Aleph in the Masechta Sukkah? In the world of Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, you have to build the Sukkah Lishma Midaraisa. But what? Stam Lishma is good enough. What did the Gemara say in Zvachim Dabeis? You have to write a get Lishma. It happens to be that an Isha is not a menace to Gerushin. But if she would be a menace to Gerushin, what would it then be? Stam Lishma would have sufficed. A korban, I mean, a Torah has to be offered Lishma. You have to shech that korban or Lishma. If you don't, there are negative consequences. But Stam Lishma is good enough. So, Nu, what do you think about that? Now that we know a little bit more about our topic, what do you think about Stam Lishma? You think Stam Lishma should work or not? Let's hear it out, Nu. If you hold, yeah. If you hold that the Shema requires Dibur, where's the Dibur in Stam Lishma? If you tell me that the Shema never required Dibur in the first place, all you needed was some kind of a quasi machshava. So the chiddush of the Stam Lishma is that you have the machshava. When I'm building a sukkah 3 days before sukkah, of course I'm building it l'shem sukkah. What else am I doing it for? So if you tell me that machshava suffices, then I understand how Stam Lishma meets those criteria. But if you tell me that Lishma requires much more than just machshava, it requires a formal dibur, how in the world does Stam Lishma work? I mean, I have three dinim with Stam Lishma invoked. Two of them really, Beshabai Sukkah, Zvachim Dabeis, Kobanas, and one theoretically by Isha, not for the technicalities, that Isha is not Stam Lishma. So what's the mechanism behind that? How can a Stam Lishma work if Lishma itself requires dibur? So we better do our homework now on this Rabbi Navarach. We better find out what the answer to this Pigul story is, because we can't budge. We cannot learn Sukkah Daf Tes until we figure out the answer to Zvachim Dabeis. So we have to go back to the drawing board and ask ourselves, well, what does Pigul need? Does Pigul need Dibur, or is Pigul sufficient with Machshava? So we need a little bit of a background to this. We actually need a big background to this. It's time for Mamish Zvachim, literally, Zvachim 101. When I shecht the korban, there are a whole list of different potential things that can go wrong. There are, every korban has three potential things to go wrong, and then one unique korban has four potential things to go wrong. Anyone know what I'm talking about? What are some of the things that could go wrong? When I say shechting, I mean avodas adam. So there are four avodas adam. Shechit is an avodas adam. Why? Because it gets the dam out. Kabbalah adam kli. That's avodas adam. Halacha adam, bringing the kli with the dam to the mizbeach. And zikas adam gamim. Those are the four avodas adam. The gemara learns from sukkim. Anything we're talking about now, until you hear me otherwise, is referring to any one of these avodas adam. So what could go wrong in the Beis HaMikdash? How many different things could go wrong? The first 30 blad of Masechet Zevachim. What could go wrong? No, I'm talking about incorrect intentions, either intentions, dibbers, or a lot of things go wrong in the dish. Either incorrect intentions or speech. So, well, the simplest one is, I told you before, that a korban has to be brought lishma. So if I shechted a korban, I didn't envy avaydis, shalom, lishma. That's one thing that can go wrong. It's a pretty serious thing that can go wrong. Okay? Then you have a second thing that can go wrong, is what? Pigul is what? Is if I do any of the avodas with the intention of eating or being makrif, chutz le, what's that word? Zmano. That's called pigul. Then there's something which is like pigul, but not identical. Chutz le what? Chutz le kama. It means I shechted or did the avodas, having in mind that I'm going to eat the korban in Tel Aviv. Or I'm going to be makhti the korban somewhere chutz le mikdash. Chutz le kama. Chutz le kama is not pigul. It means it doesn't carry with it an onus of kares, but what is it? It's posel. And if you eat it, you chayv malchus. It's like eating any other korban that was nifsol. There's an issur d'oraisa eating any korban that was nifsol. Lo yachol kodeshem, any korban that became posel for whatever reason is also be achil mid'oraisa, but it doesn't carry with it the onus of kares. How in the world do we know all this to be true? So you have to learn the first 30 blad of Zvachim to figure it out. All based on Pesukim, all drashas, all Teshuvah Fair, all interpretations of a whole series of Pesukim, Parshas Tav, and Parshas Kedeshim, which teaches this whole agglomeration of stuff. These are the basic ABCs of things that can go wrong in terms of Machshavas HaKodshim. Now, just for our own knowledge, it's important for us to know, when we say that Shalom L'Shma is a problem, notice what word I did not put on the board. I only described the machshava, but I didn't describe the consequences of the machshava. Chutzim mano carries with it, pigo carries with it, sakaris. Chutzim kaimai, this carries with it, kares. This carries with it, malchus. What does this carry with it? Machshava was done shalol l'shma. Anyone know? Pesach kari korban. First bishop Masechet Zevachim. Has Zevachim open up with? Kol Zvachim Shinishchu Shalol Lishman Sheirim Ella Shalol Ol Labayim Lashem Chayva Chutz Bina Chatas VePesach Zvanoi. All Karbanos that are brought Shalol Lishma are kosher. So if they're kosher, why am I wasting your time? They're kosher, but what? Lo Ol Labayim Lashem Chayva. They don't count for that Chiyav. So let's say, for example, a guy took a ned to bring a korban ola, and he brought a korban ola and he shechted it l'shem shlamim. The korban's kosher. You could be makhav on the mizbech. Nothing wrong with it. Well, if you brought a shlamim and had in mind l'shem osham, the korban's kosher. You can eat it. Mutlach et chiyot eat it. Makhav on the mizbech. You can eat it. Everything's hunky dory. But lo ol abam shem chayv. If you took a ned to bring a shlam, you have to bring another one. If you took a ned to bring another, you have to bring another one. Lo ol abam shem chayv. Anyone remember what the source of that did is? Anyone know? What kind of strange thing is that? That, make up your mind, either kosher or pasuk. The answer is kosher, but lo yatzi dechavasai. So Gemara needs a pasuk for that. The pasuk is in Pashuk Kisaytze, Motzos vasecha tishma v'yasisa, kashen adarta l'ashem lokecha medava asher dibarta b'ficha. What's the problem with that pasuk? Kasher adarta l'ashem lokecha medava. What's the problem? A neder is not a nedava. They're two totally different things. A neder means that I took a neder, I'm going to bring a carbon, I'm going to bring a carbon over to the base of Mikdash. I have to bring a carbon. No matter what happens, I have to bring a carbon. And if all my animals die, I have to go buy another animal. A neder, mamash chayiv to chiyav achrayus. A nedava means not harei alive, but rather what? Harei zo. I designate this animal. This animal dies. It's not my problem. I don't have to make it up. So the Torah is very strange. The Torah writes, kasher nadarta l'shem l'kecha nedava. The Torah is saying, your korban, you took a neder, And now we're calling him the Dover. What do the words mean? Were you Yotze or not Yotze? So the Gemara says, depends. If you brought it Lishma, then you're Yotze. If not, then then it becomes only in the Dover. It means the carbon's okay. But your nether is still Talib Yomim. Your nether still has to be fulfilled. So the Gemara, beginning of Masechet Zvachim, Tarshish, this Pasuk Tashra Peh, explains to us that this is the Mokah for the Din, that most Karbanas call as Vachim Aksherim, but Lo'ol Abayelim, Lo'ol L'Shem Chayiva. They don't count for the obligation to bring another one. There are two Karbanas that we learn out from Sukkim, in the first 10 Blanets Vachim, that L'Shlo L'Shmo is such a problem that it disqualifies the Karban L'Gamri. Hacho Mikoko. What are those two Karbanas? A Karban Chatos and a Karban Pesach. Okay. The Pesach b'zmanim is Pesach on your dal in the afternoon, amamish psulim, and therefore if you eat it, what do you chayav? Not kares, I didn't say kares. You chayav like any other carbon that's possible. You chayav. What was that we're finishing today? Manos, like any other lav in the Torah, eating possible carbonis. So these are the three categories of psulim of machshava. One is the psul with a kares, one is the psul with a psul biyama, one is depends what kind of carbon it is. Okay? This is the introduction, this is not what we're going to talk about right now. You have to know this because you can't even begin to talk what we're going to talk about now. Then there's a fourth machshava out there. Anyone know what it is? It's very, very limited in scope. What? Shalola Ochlin, specifically limited to carbon paper. There's machshavas Shalola Ochlin. Shalol Ochlov means that I offer Korban Pesach, and we know that out of all the Korbanos, Achila plays the most significant role in Korban Pesach. Ochlos Abosah, that's Achiv Gomer, each of the members of the Korban Pesach, eat a Kazayas Ben Abosah. I go in and I shech the Korban Pesach. And I shech the Korban Pesach with having in mind to feed the meat of the Korban Pesach to somebody who's not supposed to be eating the meat of this Korban Pesach. Why is the person not supposed to be eating the meat of this Korban Pesach? For multiple reasons. Who can tell me why? What is preventing this fellow from eating the meat of the Korban Pesach? Either he's Tameh, or he's an Oriel, or he didn't sign up on it. It's Shalola Menuyov. If he didn't sign up before, you don't have a share in it monetarily, you can't eat it. Or he probably can't eat, he's sick, he's old, he can't chew the meat. So even though he's not halakhically eliminated, but Lamaisi can't do it. So any one of those kinds of people are called Shalol Yochlov. And if you shech the Korban Pesach, Shalol Yochlov, the Korban Pesach is possible. I said that again carefully. You shech the Korban Pesach, Shalol Yochlov, it's possible. What did I not say? Shech. I said it three times. The other Avedis doesn't apply. It's a special court by Shechita. Ish tefi ochlo tachaisu ala seh tachaisu loshen Shechita. Ish tefi ochlo tachaisu. The Shechita is a Korban, has to be L'shem Ochloi. And if it's the Shechit is done on behalf of anyone who's not from the Eichlin, the Korban is no good. So this is a unique thing. It's unique in two ways. It's unique because it only applies to Pesach, and it's unique that it only applies to Shechita. It only creates a psul. And it's unique in one other way. Anyone know what other way? It only applies if it's what's called Kol Eichlin. Mixus Eichlin no posla. What if I shech the Korban Pesach and saying, I'm shech this Korban Pesach, I'm going to feed part of it to the Orel, and part of the meat I'm going to eat myself. That's perfectly okay. That doesn't disqualify it. Mixus Ochel Apostle, the Gemara learns out in the fifth parak of Masechus Psacha from Sukkim. Mixus Ochel Apostle, unlike Pigol or Chutzlum Kaimai, we even be Mixus Apostle. Let's say a person shech the Korban, he's only going to eat one Kezias Chutzlum Zman or Chutzlum Kaimai. The full fledged of the Pigol and Apostle applies to the entire Korban. Even one kezayis ruins it for the entire korban. So that din, that one ruins for everybody, that was never said by Machshavah Shalol Yochlov. How do you know that? Gzeres HaKosov. Nothing. It's a sugi in the fifth parakup sachem. So there are three unique halachas of Shalol Yochlov that separates it from everything else. One is, it only applies to Pesach, it's only by Shechita, and it only applies to Mixus Eichlin Loi Pasal. Okay? And the result of all that is, if you meet all three of those criteria, then it's not a possible minatari, idi yechema. Good. So far, so good? Okay. Now we have to learn the sugya Maseches Pesachim, because we cannot understand Rabbeinu Baruch's raya for or against from Pigul, and not learn the sugya Maseches Pesachim. And let's not forget, Rabbeinu Baruch by Pigel is going to impact on Lishma by Mitzvahs, because that was the only model that we really truly understood. And the Lishma by Mitzvahs is hanging on for dear life, because our Sugya in Sukkot Daf Tes equated Stavu Lishma with Lishma. So the only way for us to make any sense out of Sukkot Daf Tes, and we're only learning Sukkot Daf Tes, we're learning the Mishnah, we're learning the Rashi, we saw that Chazal teaching us Stavu Lishma is like Lishma, we learn Zvachot Abeis, we see that Stavu Lishma is like a Lishma, but we can only understand that that's true if Lishma is sufficient with Machshavos. If Lishma needs Dibur, we have no idea where to put ourselves. And the only way for us to know whether Lishma needs Dibur or not is to get this background and begin to analyze the Sugya in Maseches Pesach. Okay, so everyone understands why we're doing what we're doing. There is a method, a reason for this, what we're trying to do here. So let's take a look. So the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. Tanya. Pesach of Dafsach. Beis in that. Beis. Tanya. Chayim Aymrim. Who's a Chayim always? Always Rabbi Meir. A Chayim Aymrim. Hikdim Mulin li Arelim Kosher. Arelim the Mulin Possel. So a guy is a Pesach to Korban Pesach. And he mentions in the Shechita that he's doing it both for Mulin and for Arelim. So that's a no-brainer. What's the din? Kosher. That's what the Mishnah said in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. If you took a look back at the fourth of the Maamar Kamos for a second, the Mishnah says that if you do la'ochla vishlo le'ochla, v'lemnuya vishlo le'mnuya, v'lemu uliarem, then it's kosher. Mikdazach and l'apostle. So the Braisa starts off with a very, very simple statement. Achim ratadachim aimim hikdimul ne'arem kosher. Abra ratim l'mul l'impossel. But if the person said the same thing, just what? Just backwards, so then everything's a disaster. Then it's possible in a Torah. What's the difference? Mulim before Arelim is okay. The kula arla b'din v'leik. The only time that arla mechshev shol eichon passes by korban pesach is only if it's kula arla, and you don't have kula arla. So Arelim mulim nami kula arla b'din v'leik. So vayt in the first case you also don't have. So there's no difference in the first and the second case. They should both be kosher. So what is pshat? What is Pshat in this very, very vague, very unclear Brais of Yecheru? So comes Rab on the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, gives you a very lumdish of Pshat in this Brais. Comes Rab and says, Amar Rab, Le'olim kesav Yecherim, yesh no l'shchitim in chilev yatsoif. That was a response to the previous Akimta. We're going to leave that out for now. Tachav Ma'eskirim, this is the issue. Listen to the case, Zacht Rab. Kegon, Shegomar Balibo the Travayu. In his heart of hearts, what does the guy want to shech the Korban Pesach for? For what?
Both.
So he's thinking both. Bein the Mulim, bein the Arelim. But when he opens up his big mouth, V'hotzi b'fiv, li Arelim, v'lo hispik loyma l'mulin, ashenig m'shchita b'Arelim. So imagine this Erev Pesach the Beis Hamikdash. This is gavaldik, right? Everyone's standing there saying Hallel, the Chassidim are destroying. Everyone's gavaldik, meiridik. They're sitting in the Beis Hamikdash. The Shachtos of Kalas in the Rabbayim. And there's one nincompoop there who's thinking, oh yeah, don't tell anybody. I'm reading his mind. You know, Hava, we had a little comic strip, so it was like a picture, you know, three dots, you know. This is what he's thinking. He's thinking, yes, I learned that Mishnah Mitzachim. Yes, I know Mikdash Erlos Lo Pasta, gavaldik. Hold his nine. Asher kiddushan mitzvah yitzivanu. Ashchitas haPesach. Ech ben shaykh etzayin to come in Pesach. To the tzarech of Allah areilim. And he shachts. And all the mulin also. With the coin on the spot says, stop. Penalty marker down. When your knife cut that simen, that's the end. Anything after that, the whistle blew already. That's already halftime. It doesn't count. So the only thing that matters is what happened before that critical moment in time. So what happened before that critical moment in time? What did the guy say? He said, Arelim. So we have a problem. That's not a mikzah shechita be Arelim. Vos is doser by say. That's a kula shechita be Arelim. So that's what the Braisa meant. And the Braisa said, hikdim Arelim lemulim, what it meant is that he jumped the gun and he said Arelim before he got a chance to say Mulim, so it's possible. What does Hikta Mulim Arelim mean? That means he got a chance to say Mulim in an enough time. So Rabbi said, if that's the case, what's the problem? Then we're guilty of overkill over here. Right? If that's the pshat in the Braisa, that hikdam mulim yarelim is kosher, hikdam arelim lamulim is puzzle, what's the guilt? What's guilty of overkill? You have a Braisa, you dug up a Braisa somewhere in the deep recesses of Braisas. Tanya acherim omrim. What's the implication of that statement? Acherim omrim? This was who speaking? And nobody else, what? Bought into this. Acherim, the only Remeir. The Haley Remeir, the Gemara says that the reason why we don't pass like Remeir most of the time is because he was such a Tamar Chacham, the other Tadam didn't understand him. The Gemara says in Erevin. They couldn't chop all his loveless. They couldn't pass it like him. You don't understand the sheep, you can't pass it like it. But the Haley Gitan of Remeir, Hatzazot, Tischish Gadol, with the impression that, implication that nobody bought into this. Why does anyone believe this? This is Pashut. What's the Shaila? In the case of Hikdim Arelim Lemulim, so he said, only said Arelim. So the Gemara has to explain why nobody else agreed to him. Gemara continues. Uvahaplig. The Rabbi Meir Sava, loy be'inin pifili b'shavim. Rabbanin Sava, be'inin pifili b'shavim. What does that mean, pifili b'shavim? What does that term mean? That's a Masech HaShavuos term. Tafyayim, starting tomorrow. That's a Masech HaShavuos term, pifili b'shavim. What does that mean? When the guy takes a neder or a shvua, he says something, but he had in mind something else. He's all psyched to take a shvua. He's not going to eat any some good food. People probably shouldn't be eating. Okay, so let's say Reuven takes a neder. He's about to take a shvua. He's not going to eat French fries anymore. So he's so excited. He told his wife that's at the end of the French fries, and he gets up and he says, "I'm never going to eat pizza." And then 10 seconds later, I didn't mean pizza, I meant french fries. What's the din? So that's called pivalibo enam shavim. He was thinking one thing and saying something else. So comes the Gemara and says, this fellow was thinking one thing and saying something else. Because what was he really thinking? What was in his heart of hearts? Not the guy with the french fries. The guy with the face of me. The guy with the face of me. What was he thinking? He was thinking mulim and arelim, right? Koma believe it's your vibe. He was thinking mulim and arelim. So is Mulim and Arelim a problem? It's not a problem. Everybody knows. Mixes Eichel Apostle. It's a favorite Shabor, number four. So his Makshava was not a detrimental Makshava. But his Dibor was detrimental. So he said one thing and thought something else. So the Rabbanan said the Korban's Kosher. Even though the only words that came out of his mouth were Arelim, but it was a mistake. It was a Tos. It was a Kaneda B'Tos. It was a Shechit B'Tos. Because he meant to say both, he just didn't get around to it. So the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Meir and say that the korban is kosher in both cases, even though you're right, the only words, the incriminating words, were only arelim, but at the end of the day, it wasn't pivotal b'shavim, therefore the korban is kosher. And Rabbi Meir was mechadish, you don't need pivotal b'shavim. So according to Rabbi, the machlegis Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan is not really a korban machlegis, it's not a kosher machlegis, it's not a korban machlegis. It's a machlekes in das and piv and libos and nedarim and shvuas. It's a complicated issue that permeates called tarakula. That's Rabbis of Kimton, the machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Rabban. But in the worldview of Rabbi Meir, there's a Rabbi saying, in the worldview of Rabbi Meir, who says that it doesn't bother us that there was a discrepancy between what you thought and what you said. If here's the guy, all right? Here's the korban, all right? Here's the knife. All right? What does he got? Is that how you do it? Right? What does he got? Arelim and Mulim. But what came out of his mouth? Only Arelim. In the world view of Rabbi Meir, this carbon gets a big what? Comes possum in a Torah, you have malchus to eat it. You have to bring another carbon. Without you have courage for not bringing carbon pesach that year. And the only reason why the Rabbanim let this carbon go through is because what he said was a toast. He never really meant to say it. But Rabbi Meir somehow wasn't misyachis to that. He doesn't care about toast. It's not a typical b'shavim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, this is not mixus arelim. This is kulo arelim. Ad kan tevei gemar b'sachem daf samachis. Kum taisves. on the spot. So I start giving with Aleph. Comes and says, Mikan medaktik ri. Tahad the koi bechol duchte pigo psul machshava. Lav dafka. The eno pigo acheyeti besvasav. The even machshav yetalia milsa. Bishlo hispik lemon the mulin. Am I possible? May I go unbelievable? Not me lemon the mulin. What's up the ri? New everybody say, what does the ri, Hilger ri say? Says the ri. Let's analyze this case in light of our issue whether machshavas and kachim are dibur or machshava. If you play devil's advocate and you tell me, like one tzad maybe, like the Rambam in the Sefer Chinuch, that machshava of kachim means pshita koshva means machshava, that means the halacha takes into consideration everything said and everything thought, because thinking is like talking in hukas karbanos. Therefore, this fellow, according to Rabbi Meir, what is registering for us, Rabbi Say? How many words are registering here? What's coming out of his processes that matter to us? What should be, according to the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, what should be registering? According to the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, Pigul and Machsheva Shlo Lishma and Machsheva Chutzim Kaimai and Shlo Li'oich, all of these Karbonistic and Machshavadik Esugiyas all include both Dibors and Machshavas. That's the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch, Feirish. So Frektari, if those who showed him are right, so this fellow, what should be registering for him? Yes, I remember, what else? What else should be registering? Mulim, because it's in his mind. He's got three little dots. That's good enough for Kachin. So what does the Rebbe call this? Kula Machsheva Shlechlin. This is not Kula Machsheva Shlechlin. This is Biktas Shlechlin Apostle. Why is it about wasting our time and telling us Rebbe and Rebbe are fighting out whether you need people leave or shove him? Frektari, forget people leave or shove it. This carbon is kosher l'chatchila. Because it's only machshavas mitzvah eichlin. Because you take into consideration what he thought as well. Zeman Fendor says the Re, you see from here, Raya, Chlor, Raya, says the Re, that machshava and kachim is nish machshava. Machshava and kachim is only dibur. And therefore, what happened in the little three dots doesn't interest us. This is the only thing that matters, and the only words we heard out of his mouth are Arelim, and therefore Rameir says it's possible in the Torah. And the only reason why the Rabbanim were Makshe the carbon was why? Because of a quirk of that what? That what was it lacking? Because it wasn't people who were shoving. Not that the Rabbanim followed the Machshava, that's not what they said. The Rabbanim didn't say this is Miktas Arechim Apostle. What the Rabbanim says is not people who were shoving, therefore it's not Toifes Bechlal, it's not even Chalik and Nedeb Betos. Everyone chapped the Re, when you saw the Re, everyone saw the Toifes? Who here understood this Re's Raya? When you saw it, who saw the Raya? Who saw the Tesis? Who understood the Raya? Who understands the Raya now? It's Gevaldik Raya. Mamshik Raya. Mamshik Gevaldik Raya. Re. Mamshik Gevaldik Raya. Bekam bedachtik Re. Bekam kol duchte pigo psul machshava lav dafka. It's Gevaldik Raya. No, but it's Gevaldik Raya, and it spells Gevaldik trouble for what? For what masechta? What daf? Sukkah Dov Tesem and Aleph. Because Sukkah Dov Tesem and Aleph says that, yeah, it's Dom L'Shma is also cool. You built the Sukkah 3 days before Sukkah, that's fine. Ah, you want, didn't say anything, who cares? So Rabbi say, if I would have told you that we have a stira guluya between Sukkah Dov Tesem and Aleph and Psochim Dov Samach Bey, Samach Gimel, you would have thought I was crazy. One is about Machshavas of cartoons of Orlam and Mulim and Chechtik and Pesach, and I'm learning a sugya about going to Bishamay building a sukkah. But you realize, boys, that's the same underlying question. What is the machshavas hatera? Is the machshava that's necessary to disqualify and to qualify things dibur, or is it machshava? Sukkah davtes seems to point in the direction that's machshava sufficient. Whereas the sugya in Pesach of Tzachamim Gibel, the Regis put a raya brua lecherish ein alat shuva. The Rabbi said, how would the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch respond to the Re's Raya? Who thinks the Re's Raya is absolutely convincing, and who wants to argue with the Re's Raya? So it's clear that the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch were not overwhelmed with this Raya. But the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch would respond to the Re's Raya is that this is not a Raya bechlal to anything under the sun. You know why? Very simple. But medvar mamurim, that the Torah treats machshava as a machshava, that's in the absence of dibur. But once you start to open up your mouth, then that's the only thing that really matters. Machshava means something when it's not going up against dibur. But once you start dibur, then the halach is on misyachis to the dibur, not to the machshava. And therefore, the Gemara in Pesachim is not a right to anything b'chlal. Machshava shteit machshava. And according to the Rambam Sefer Chinuch, everything's hunky dory. Sukkah daf tes makes a lot of sense. But according to the Ri, and according to Rabbeinu Baruch, and all the Balei HaTosfos who thought that this was a raya b'ur shel al tshuva, we're back to square one. We're back to a pickle. Well, how does Stamma L'shma work? How could Stamma L'shma work if you need more than just machshava and just deep? That's the kasha. It took us an hour to develop the kasha. In the process, we learned a little bit about Suli Machshava. We evaluated the Rabbeinu Baruch's pros and cons. We pointed out the Rambam is chinuch against Balei HaTosfos, the raya back and forth from Maseches Pesachim. We're back to square one. If Machshava's kachim, and by extension, Machshava L'shma of mitzvahs, which Rabbeinu Baruch convinced us is the same, so we're going to go along those lines of reasoning. If Machshava Satayra means Machshava Mamish, so then I understand the Dinat HaMashma. Machshava Satayra means Dibor, I don't understand Sam L'shma. So Rabbi say, now that we spent a lot of time trying to understand what L'shma means, and according to the Rambam Chinuch, who just bumped into, according to the Tzom Tzeis, the Ri and Rabbeinu Baruch, who bumped into a brick wall, maybe we have to do a little bit of work on Stamma L'shma. If we want to understand the equation between the two, maybe we have to understand a little bit what Stamma L'shma is, or perhaps what's not. Yishalach, Rabbi say, what is the principle of Stamma L'shma mean? Zvachim da beis, Rashi and Sukkot of Tess. What does Stamma L'shma mean? What do you think Stamma L'shma means? When I first introduced it to you an hour ago, I may have brainwashed you what Stamma L'shma means. What I described to you is as follows. I described to you as a guy the day after Yom Kippur. He feels so kaddish for Tohor. He's on his way an hour later to go buy his Luv and Esuk from Munsi. The morning now he's building his sukkah. And he forgot, according to Bishamay, to say, Hinni Mucham Zum L'shaim Mitzvah Sukkah. So what do we say? We put our arms around him. Don't worry about it. Okay, right. We know what you really were thinking. We know that you were thinking the Olam HaYayin and building sukkah. Why else are you building a hut and putting bamboo on top of it 3 days before sukkah, 1 day after Yom Kippur? Obviously you're doing it in the Shema. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. That's one way of understanding it. We're reading your mind. Stamma L'shma is a psychological assessment. Something that takes place 3 o'clock in the afternoon in YU. In your psychology classes, we can say this is what the guy really meant to do. We're very comfortable. Builds a sukkah 6 months before sukkahs. I don't know why he's building it. Maybe he's building it for his animals. Maybe he's building it for sukkahs aburgen, and maybe sukkahs gamdach rakva. I have no idea why he's building it. The guy's building a sukkah 2 days before sukkahs, and his little kids are making their daisy chains, and everyone's getting ready for sukkahs, and the wife's screaming to add something to the shlitzafil tefach. Obviously, they're doing l'shem mitzvah. It's a psychological assessment. Or maybe no. Whenever you hear one side of chakira being psychology, what's the other side going to be? It's what? It's halacha. It's bismedrish. Before 3 o'clock. Even on Sundays. Even on days that are called Fridays in halacha. Even on Shabbos. You can build the sukkah even on Shabbos. Remember we were learning in Kibbe Yavne. We were learning Baba Basra my first year in Kibbe Yavne. First sukkah is about burning the sakos. Very deep, you know. The Shutvin Shechoku, Bernis Akoisa, back and forth, the Sugi, Bernis Akoisa. First one, the Sugi, the Basra. So I remember one Shabbos, the Shiva walks into the Beis Medrash, and I see some guys like sitting around reading some very, very light, reading some Jerush Chumash, some Chumash Svarim, some very, very light kind of reading, with the piece of kokosh cake in one hand, cup of soda in the other hand. So Shiva, in his way, he said to them, he said, Asul of Nois Akoisa B'Shabbos, Tem Choshim Zemukta. You can learn Bainas HaKoysel at Shabbos. Shabbos is not only to learn and sit back and eat kokosh cake and read a Vart and Parsha. So you can learn the whole day, the whole week, the whole year, your whole life also. So Rabbi say, the din of Stamma L'shma is not rooted in the world of psychology. It's rooted in the world of Bismanish. Al pi din, Stamma L'shma works. How does that work? There are two vehicles that can be used to create L'shma. One is the Gavra himself, could be a poil of a Lishma, And how do you do that? I don't know. Deep Mokshav, I'm not sure yet how to do that. And then there's a totally different way that Lishma could be created. How is that? Well, if it ain't the Gavra, what is it? The Chavtza itself is creating its own Lishma. How does that happen? If a Chavtza is Oymid Lekach, the very essence of the Asiyas HaChavtza creates, there's a built-in Lishma. You don't have to superimpose the Lishma of a Gavra's Machshava. The Chavtza is screaming out, Ich bin a Sukkah. Ich bin Matz. Ich bin a Get. Ich bin a Korb. The Chavtza itself is Mekadosh itself. It's Mechin itself. And you don't need the Pulis Agavra to create a Lishma. That's what Stamal Lishma means. If that's what Stamal Lishma means, then the challenge that we had to the Rian Rabin Baruch now ceases to exist. We asked the Kafrek the Kasha, Abazoi, that Lishma needs Dibur. How could Stamal Lishma work with the answer? Lishma needs Dibur when who's being Poyal the Lishma? The Gavra. The Torah is not Mesiach, it's the Machshava. Machshava is cyberspace. That doesn't exist. The Torah only speaks to Maisim and to Dibur. So, Kol Zman, you need the Pu'ulas Maisa Gavra. The Maisa Gavra has to be accompanied by a Dibur. But Kol Zman, you're telling me that the Asiyas HaChavtza itself creates a Lishma, regardless of the Gavra. So then, you can't even discuss Dibur or Machshava. It's a different parasha of the Gavra. It's a different vehicle. It's a different road to come to the same conclusion. There are multiple ways to reach the same conclusion. The conclusion is, I have to have a sukkah that's made lishma. I have to have matzah made lishma. I have to have a get lishma. I have to have a korban that's lishma. The Torah gives us multiple ways to get to that same conclusion. If that's the case, then the whole kushim mikorleisa. So what is stamal lishma? Is stamal lishma, we're going to erase this right away, but is stamal lishma Torah or stamal lishma mada? Okay? That we're going to erase. Torah we're going to erase. We bought it to mishma, mrakam, you can't erase Torah. No one's going to infer anything from that thing. So Rabbi Shai, no. This becomes a new shayla. So we thought we were learning a sugya of kachya, and we thought we were learning a sugya of what is machshava's kachya, is machshava diba. We did learn that sugya. That was today's shir. Now tomorrow's shir, hopefully, will be what is stamal lishma. And guess what? Where are we going to bring raya's one way or another? Well, there are very few cases that we really have stamal lishma to work with. Sukkot Haftes is very little to work with because only Beishami would have been possibly Beishami. Gittin would have been a great place to look 90 blot of Masech. There must have been something in there, except what does the Gemara tell us in Zvachim? That Stam Isha is what? Is La Avigation. So there's only one. You know, I presented it like Kol HaTorah Kula is the establishment. There's one place. Zvachim Da Beis, Kachim. So guess what? Just in case you didn't have enough Kachim today, hopefully make sure we have part two tomorrow, we have to go back to the world of Zvachim and figure out from the world of Zvachim, what is Stam Lishma? And hopefully that will indicate how to go in terms of understanding the world of Sukkot Haftes. I'm going to answer tomorrow.